Greetings this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's good to be here. It's good to be in God's house with God's people. And you know, when we come to God's house with God's people and we have prayed for the service, we have prepared the soul of our hearts for a blessing from God. And this morning I have felt the prayers of God's people in my behalf, and I thank you for that. I invite your attention this morning for a message from Matthew 21. We'll begin reading in verse 33 to verse 46. Matthew 21. Matthew 21, beginning reading in verse 33, and we will read to the end of the chapter. 21, verse 33. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said unto themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, did ye not read in the scripture? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in his eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to the nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Verse 44. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. This morning our text is taken from verse 44. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. The title of our message this morning is Broken on the Rock. And this title was given to me by your ministry in relation to your upcoming ordination that you're having here. Broken on the Rock. Who is this rock? And Psalm 18 and verse 2, it says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Psalm 18:31, for who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? I think we would all agree this morning that this rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not move large rocks. Rocks are hard. Rocks are dead weight. Hit them and your hammer will bounce. We look at God as unmovable, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I would also say that we all appreciate that fact very much, that God does not change. God does not allow sin. But what is the scripture saying in verse 44, the first part? And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. Is this fall inevitable? Can this fall be avoided? Is it needed? Are we the better for it? This verse would imply that the fall will break you. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. The title that we have, Broken on the Rock. Is this rock meant to break us? Is it a must? Is being broken a one-time thing, or is it a continual process? Why is being broken imperative for the Christian? And interesting enough, if we read in verse 44 there, we are given two options. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. We have two options, either to be broken or to be ground to powder, or to be ground to powder. My understanding that in the Greek, the word grind and powder is the same Greek word. So why are we implying this morning that the deacon that you're wanting to ordain needs to be broken? There's something that I've experienced in my life, and that is the more authority that a person is given, the more they need to rely on God. Abraham Lincoln made this statement, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for that day." We need our reliance upon God. This morning, have you ever fought God? Did you win? Did the rock change? Did it move? Isaiah 42 verse 8, it says, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." Malachi 3 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." That rock is Jesus, is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he does not change. You know, we have the account in Acts 9. We had Saul that was working against God. And he was working against God. And God shone that bright light on him on his way to Damascus. And in that light, Saul knew it was God, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." You know, Saul tried fighting God. Balaam would not listen to God. The ass that he was driving had better vision than he did. The Egyptians didn't think they needed to listen to God. And you know, they pursued. But when they went through that Red Sea, just like the children of Israel on dry ground, the Lord took their wheels off their chariots. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, along with 14,700 men, they rebelled against God, and the ground swallowed them up. Ananias and Sapphira, they thought they could do what they wanted to do. And Jonah thought he could go where he wanted to go. We heard about Jonah this morning. Jonah thought he could go where he wanted to. But in Galatians 6:7 it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Our text verse, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. Friends, this morning, God doesn't need to answer to anyone. But Jesus is warning against anyone that's going to oppose him. Defying Jesus is like beating one's head against a solid rock. And that's a foolish action. Remember when David sinned against God by numbering the children of Israel. And David was given a choice of the punishment that he wanted. And God gave him three choices. In 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 12 it says, either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence, in the land the Lord destroyeth throughout all the coast of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring against him that sent me. And in verse 13, and David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of men. We may not understand everything God sends our way, what God does and why he deems what he does, but I trust his sovereignty. If you and your wife are ordained to the work of a deacon, submit yourself to the hand of God. In Jeremiah 23, verse 29, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Jesus is the sure rock of salvation for those who believe, but an immovable stumbling stone for those who do not. So how is it with you with God this morning? Is Jesus your friend or your foe? This rock, Jesus, is that a firm foundation to you, or is it a stumbling block? Are you working for God? Are you working against God? God has a work for you, to you, and through you. When we persistently reject Jesus, God, work in our lives, we are candidates for the judgment of God. In Genesis 6, verse 3, it says, my spirit will not always strive with man. And in Hebrews 10, verse 31, it says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So this morning we have a choice, a call of faith, an appeal to open your eyes and see that Jesus is the solid rock we can trust. Or we can resist, we can reject Jesus. But may I remind you, in Psalm 18, verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, is a buckler to those that trust in him. You know, this morning, the Christian life is a paradox. In order to be exalted, we need to be abased. To be lifted up, we need to humble ourselves. And to be of use to God, we need to be broken. But being broken doesn't make sense in our minds. You know, a child doesn't want a broken toy, a broken window, a broken piece of equipment, a broken wrench, a flat tar. Either we fix it or we throw it away, one of the two. But God wants brokenness. We need to be broken for God to dwell in us. It takes broken soil to produce a crop, broken clouds to produce rain, broken grain to give bread. It took a broken alabaster to give out perfume. It was a new thought to me as I studied this message. Those five loaves and two fishes that Jesus fed the 5,000 with. Jesus, it says that he blessed the bread and then he broke it. He broke the bread. Those five loaves and two fishes needed to be broken in order to feed those 5,000. But by being broken, there was plenty of leftovers. At communion, we commemorate Jesus' broken body. Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit. Being broken and contrite are two essential characteristics of true repentance. Being broken does not mean that you're helpless, that you're destitute, that you're going to be thrown away. Our subject this morning is broken by the rock. Brokenness is the process of taking our self-life away. Brokenness is the process of crucifying our carnal nature. Brokenness is the process of being clay as in the potter's hands. Brokenness is not the process to destroy you. Have you ever been in a time and a place where Jesus is all you had, but Jesus is all you need? Brokenness is being totally dependent upon God. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now you have God fighting your battles. You know, we have Jacob, Esau's brother, Isaac's son. To me, I don't understand all about the life of Jacob. Never have, and I'm open to that. But to me, Jacob was a selfish man, but he was blessed by God. And he used it for his advantage. Jacob, what he decided he wanted, he got. And he was going to get that birthright, and he got it. He was going to marry Rachel, and he worked till he got it. And Leah had to live with that. He pursued what he wanted. And we all know some of those fashitigings that he did with Esau. But you know, the day came. You can only kick that ball out of hand so many times. But the day came that he had to meet Esau. And he was shaking in his boots, and I would have too. He had to meet Esau. And the night before he met Esau, He wrestled with an angel. And he wrestled all night till the break of the day. Till he's all done and said. Esau and Jacob had a new name, and Jacob had a limp. But God had the upper hand. Jacob became a broken man. But he was dependent upon God. Brokenness is seeing ourselves as God sees us. We see ourselves in unworthiness to God. In Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know, the prodigal son came to the end of himself. When he left home, he had his own plans and his own agenda. But he came to the end of himself. And those 7 steps that he took away from his father, he had to take those 7 steps back. But when he came to the end of himself, he returned to the Father. And what did he tell the Father? "I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants." And what did the Father do? The Father forgave him. Am I worthy this morning of what all God has done for me? No. I don't deserve God's love and his forgiveness, but I am thankful for it. In Matthew 8, we have the account of the centurion. He had a servant that was sick. And he came and found Jesus. And he said, "Come and heal my servant." And Jesus said, no, he said, "Speak the word and heal him." And Jesus says, "I will come and heal him." And what did the centurion say? "I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." He felt his unworthiness before God, before Jesus. We have the Pharisee and the publican. They went to the temple to pray. And we know that account. We know what the Pharisee did. The Pharisee was a self-righteous man. He didn't need anybody's help. He was far from broken. But the publican, he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." A broken Christian is humble. A humble Christian is broken. Isaiah 57:15. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Friends, this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ has 2 addresses. He lives in heaven, in that high and holy place, but he lives also on this earth in a heart, in a contrite, in a humble heart. Psalm 147:3, "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." God is our rock. But if we resist God, that rock will work against our nature. And our nature wants its own way. It wants to please itself. This morning I'm talking to you all in collective manner, but I'm also speaking to you as a church that are looking to ordain a deacon and his wife. God is our rock, and we as ordained men and our wives, we are dealing and working with God's people. Yes, our desire is that each one of you would live a victorious Christian life. But in our shepherding and guiding people, if we don't do it God's way, that rock will fall on us. My mind goes to Peter. You know, Peter said, "Lord, I will never deny you. Lord, I'll die for you." But when the real test came, Peter failed. And when that cock crowed, Peter remembered. And friends, this morning, for all of us, but for us as ordained men, when we do something that is not according to God's will, the cock crows, the dogs bark, the red flags come up. There are things that happen in our lives. The red flag comes up. We know what we did wrong. But I've been there. God bless Peter bitterly. Peter was broken. Ourselves in as ordained men. We have the account where the children of Israel were thirsty, and they came to the rock, and God told Moses to strike the rock once, and Moses struck the rock once. God told Moses to go to the rock and speak to the rock. He took that rod and he struck the rock twice. Now, the blessing of water come out of that rock for God, for the children of Israel and for their animals. But Moses had disobeyed God by striking that rock twice. God had told him to speak to it. And the reason I believe that God dealt with Moses as he did, Moses could not go into the promised land because of that. And the reason he couldn't, because God had given it, that was a type. That when Jesus sacrificed once, and once and for all, Jesus did not need to go to the cross the second and the third time. Jesus only needed to go sacrifice one time. He was struck once. And that was a type that God was trying to show to us as his people. And when Moses came to that rock that second time and he struck it, he messed up a type. God couldn't tolerate that. And friends, this morning, we as ordained men, as we stand before you, we are accountable for that. Of breaking a type that God may want to show to you as people. God's plan will always bring him the most glory. Another lesson that we can learn from Moses. The Bible says that Moses was the meekest man. But you know, when God asked Moses to go lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, Moses had his excuses. He had his reasons. And one of them was, "I can't speak." It was all said and done. They got Aaron on the subject. Aaron as a brother, he came in as a spokesman. Aaron was a helper, but was Aaron a blessing to the work of Moses and to the children of Israel? Think of some of the things that Moses and God had to straighten out because of Aaron, of what Aaron did. For starters, think about who built the golden calf. That was Aaron's doings. And I'm saying this morning, had Moses submitted himself, been totally dependent, been broken before God, and said, told God, if this is what you're calling me to do, I will do it. But they got Aaron on the picture, and I believe things would have went, in my mind, I think things would have went smoother for the children of Israel had Aaron, if Moses would have submitted himself to the will of God. Be submitted to God's will for your life. Be broken before God. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. In 1 Samuel 12, verse 24 and 25, it says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he has done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. 2 Samuel 22, verses 31 and 33. As for God, his way is perfect, the word of the Lord is tried, he is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. May God bless the preaching of his word. Shall we kneel for prayer?